Thank you. Again, my name is Jeff Irving, and we are missionaries with UIM International and working at a camp called Broken Arrow Bible Ranch out near Gallup, New Mexico. And this is McKenna, and she wants to tell you real quickly what she does at the camp.
I shovel horse manure and teach the campers the books of the Bible and shovel snow.
Yes, and this year there's been a lot of snow to shovel. So this church has a long history with Broken Arrow and UIM. Many of you knew my grandparents who were missionaries with UIM. They were not at Broken Arrow, but they were with UIM, and this church supported them for many years, and then they attended here for many years once they retired and moved to this area. And yeah, there's a long history with this church and Broken Arrow. And as James was saying about the mud, that's what we're getting into right now. At the camp, there's still quite a bit of snow on the ground, but that won't last very long, and it's already becoming mud season. You'll see our car out there has a little bit of mud on it, but that's the cleanest of our vehicles, because that one hasn't been to our house since Christmas, because it's been pretty muddy. We are the only ones on staff that don't live at the camp. We live 4 miles west of the camp, 3 miles off the pavement, so it's an adventure getting in and out sometimes. But yeah, it's good to be with you this morning. Like I said, my name is Jeff. This is my wife, Rachel, and we are missionaries working at a camp out in New Mexico. there you can see a picture of the camp staff. We kind of run the gamut of age as well as culture. There's a couple of Navajo families that work with us, and there's people from the East Coast and people from the West Coast originally, and Bruce and Darlene from Minnesota, and so we have some people from the Midwest as well. So it's a good mix of people. Our camp's kind of in a little bit of a transition right now. It's something to be praying about. One of the biggest transitions is many of you in here are familiar with Ann Kuntz. She's been at the camp for a very long time. She has kind of stepped aside from running the kitchen, and we have a new young lady who's now running the kitchen, and Rachel's helping her out with doing a lot of that kind of stuff. But it's a real transition right now as we try to figure out how Ann's stepping out and Mo is stepping in, and where Rachel can fit in and kind of come alongside her and help her with some of that as well. So be praying for that. Got some other transitions going on as well, but that's really the biggest one is there in the kitchen area. So I want to start with a passage out of Psalms 107. Psalm 107 and verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which he lifts up the waves thereof. And it goes on to talk about basically, the God coming alongside them when the storms are bad and when things get rough and when things get tough. But I like the verse where it talks about they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. God calls us to do great things. God calls us to be in great positions. He doesn't call us to go fishing off the shallow waters. He calls us to go out in the great waters. And when we do that, and when we're obedient to that, and when we follow God, and we see His leading, then we see the works of the Lord, as it says in verse 24, and the wonders of the deep. If we're only willing to follow God into the shallow waters, we're not going to see the great and mighty things that He has out in the deep waters. So God called, and I'm not saying that you have to be a missionary to go do, you know, great and mighty things that God has for you. God has mighty, great and mighty things for all of us to do. But I want to encourage you to follow those things, to do those great and mighty things that God has for us to do. And some of those things are in our daily lives. Some of those things are a major step of faith to go do. But follow those things. Do those things. And you will see the great and mighty works that God has out there. One of the other psalms right before that talks about seeing the great Leviathan and things like that. You don't see those in the shallow water. You only see them in the deep water. So I want to start out with that passage this morning and kind of use that to set the tone for things that we're doing at the camp. So I almost told him to go to the next slide, but I have the clicker back here. So, some of you know, many of you know who know our story. Our call into ministry starts in September of 2014 with a house fire, and God really working to it through us and speaking to us through that, as well as the loss of our son at 4.5 months old. And God really used that. Like I said, God calls us into mighty things, and that's really what God used to call us and to talk to us. And I remember sitting in a meeting and God telling me, you know, it's really not all that important we were talking about putting gravel on a road, speaking of the mud, because I worked for the county road department, you know, it's really not a lot important if we put that gravel on that road in the grand scheme of eternity. There's no eternal value to that. And God was using that to call me and say, hey, I have something else for you to do, something important for you to do. I have some great waters for you to go fish in, to go plunge into. And again, not saying that we have to be missionaries to do great things for God, but that was kind of where he started us. So we work at a camp, Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. We run 8 weeks of camp during the summer. We run 3 weeks of teen camp, 13 to 19-year-olds. We run 5 weeks of junior camp, which is 8 to 12-year-olds. We do a lot of fun camp stuff. We do archery. We do riflery. We do horseback riding, frisbee golf, or disc golf. We call it frisbee golf. We have arts and crafts. We have what we call X Games, which is floor hockey and human foosball. Human foosball, we take the dodgeball pit and we tie these ropes across with these little pieces of pipe, and then the ropes have knots in them. So you can only go so far, just like a foosball game. And we throw a ball in there and you play foosball with it. It's kind of fun. The kids enjoy it. We do a lot of dodgeball. That's one of the more popular events there at the camp as well. Horseback riding, go-karts, those are a lot of the activities that we do. So we have a lot of fun, and we bring the kids in through having fun. And a lot of these parents will send their kids to camp. Even though it's a Bible camp, they're not really interested in the Bible part of it, but they'll send their kids to camp because they know it's a safe place for them to go have some fun and go enjoy themselves. So they'll send them to camp. And then we use the opportunity of them coming to camp to really share with them about God and share with them the truth and of God's word. Because I don't care where you are in society these days, you're not getting a lot of truth. So we try every opportunity we can to really open the truth of God's word and share the truth of God's word with these young people, as well as the light and the love of Christ. A lot of these kids don't get a lot of light, don't get a lot of love in their lives. So it's an opportunity for us to really pour into their lives and do that. The way we kind of set it up at the camp is we have what we call summer staff, counselors and wranglers. These are teenagers and young adults, age 16 to mostly 25. We don't really have a cap limit as to the older age that you can be. But once you get to be, you know, 24, 25, it's harder to give up a summer to come work at camp. But those are the ones that we put as counselors and wranglers to really pour into the lives of the kids and to really work with the kids. And then we, as a full-time staff, we take it on ourselves to really pour into the lives of those summer staff and really work with those summer staff. So we can be pouring into them, they're pouring into the campers. And that's kind of the way that we structure it to really be able to get an effective ministry to everybody who's at camp. Because a lot of times the counselors and wranglers are a big ministry as well. And for us to be able to work with them and pour into their lives and help them with things that they're going through as well. So the picture down there on the bottom right is a staff picture from several years ago. During orientation week, we was going on a camping trip, kind of do some team building stuff, as well as it's an opportunity for them to share the gospel on that trip, on that camping trip. Usually we go up to Colorado and we'll go to Durango and Ouray and those places. And the first day on the trip, they have to say hi to somebody or they have to speak to somebody that they don't know. And that's what we challenge them to do. So they do that, and that's pretty easy. The next day, they have to find somebody that they don't know, and they have to basically strike up a conversation with them and do more than just say hi to them. And that's, again, kind of breaking the ice into that. And then on the third day, we challenge them to either ask somebody how you can pray for them, or we have them share the gospel with somebody. They ask them, what are their spiritual beliefs? And to try to open the door into sharing the gospel with people, somebody that they don't know, somebody that they've never met, just right there on the street. So it's a way to do some team building, to do some training and discipleship, but also to kind of stretch them and to open them up into, this is what you're going to be doing all summer. You're going to be talking to people that you don't know, that you've never met, about how you can pray for them, about what their spiritual beliefs are, about sharing the gospel with them. And we take lots of opportunities for them to practice sharing the gospel. So that's what that picture there at the bottom is. The bottom right is the staff picture from 1 year up there in Colorado. Some more pictures of some of the stuff we do in camp. Big ball volleyball, pillow fight and water fight, the team challenge, again, go-karts. This is actually last year's slide. I forgot to switch it out. I had a technical glitch this morning, so But our numbers this year were very, very similar. We had just under 800 campers. This year we actually had 8 weeks of camp. Last year we had to cut it to 7 weeks because of school still going on and some COVID restrictions and things like that. But this year we were able to do 8 weeks. We didn't have any limits, no closures or anything like that. This year I think the salvation number, we have 43 who came to Christ. 43 who put their trust in Christ for the first time. And it's always exciting. We had one young lady who, she's from Montana. She's from the Crow Reservation. She's a brand new Christian. She just got saved. She got saved in a treatment center, up in Montana. And the church that was affiliated with that paid for her to go to Frontier School of the Bible up there in Wyoming for a year. And we met her through that and we got her hooked up and she came out to camp last year and she was really excited because there were a couple weeks that she got to sit and share Christ with a couple of the campers, and I think one of the campers came to Christ with her sharing with them one day, and she was very excited about that as a new believer and as somebody who's really growing in their walk and their faith. It was really a great thing to see that and be able to see that excitement in her to be able to lead somebody else to Christ. So it was exciting. Also, the assurances. I always say the assurances many times are almost as important as the salvations, because a lot of these kids, when they go home, they're involved in all kinds of crazy stuff. So they come back to camp, they say, hey, I got saved last year, you know, does God still love me? Did Jesus still die for me? You know, I did this, that, and the other thing, you know, am I still saved? So a lot of times it's almost as important to be able to sit down with them and say, yeah, you know, the commitment you made last summer, the decision you made last summer to follow Christ, asking God, asking Jesus into your heart, it still applies, you know, and the verse in Romans where it talks about Satan can't pluck us out of God's hands. You know, that verse is very, very real and very prevalent with these campers. And then, of course, the dedications as well. Last summer, you see on there zero closures. This would have been summer 2021. Like I said, it's last year's slide. Summer 2021, the last week of camp, we had an outbreak of COVID going around, and the health department called us on Friday and said, hey, we're going to shut you down. They said, that's nice. This is our last day of camp. Everybody's going home tomorrow anyway. So it was neat to see that we were able to get through the whole summer without any of that. And then, of course, this summer it wasn't as big of an issue. Although out where we are on the reservations, COVID is still very much a real thing. There's still a lot of fear out there. Fear of COVID and just sickness in general, and just fear in general. So it is still a very real thing out there. This past summer, we had a lot of no-shows, more than we've had in a very long time, more than probably we've ever had. And these are kids that have registered for camp, and then when it comes time to go to camp, they just don't show up. So 1 week we had almost 40 people that had registered for camp and didn't show up for camp. And we think a lot of it is still that fear of getting sick, fear of COVID. So in May, when it was time to sign up for camp, or early June, it sounded like a good idea. Hey, let's go to camp. Let's have fun. But then when the time came to actually come, it was, well, I don't know that I want you to go to camp because you might get sick. And, you know, then you'll come home and everybody else will get sick. And so there's still a lot of that fear and a lot of that holding people back and a lot of people not wanting to engage in activities, not wanting to be around other people, not wanting to socialize, things like that. So you see a lot of that still out there. And so I think that was a big part of a lot of the no-shows that we had this summer and people not showing up. And then 1 week we had a very large camp. I think it was the second teen week, so the second to last week of camp. We had over 100 campers. I think it was about 130 campers. That was another week we had a lot of no-shows. We would have had a lot more campers. And we had no work team that week. So that week we got to plug in to do double duty. So my normal job there at the camp is maintenance man. So I was doing maintenance man. But then I also had a meal job that I had to do each week or that week for each meal, which sometimes was hard to remember that I had to be at dinner half an hour early to do my meal job as well. Rachel had to plug in as the camp nurse a couple of weeks. She worked a lot in the kitchen this summer. But the week we were shorthanded, she was both the nurse and in the kitchen. So it was kind of double duty for her as well. But it was good, and God really blessed us that week, and God really encouraged us that week. And it was a lot of work, and it was tiring, and it was wearing. But it was a good opportunity for us as the staff to really come together as a team to just basically do what needed to be done and put on camp, even though we were shorthanded and had a lot of campers there that week. So, as I said, my job is maintenance, overseeing a lot of the buildings, the facilities, and things like that. So that's kind of my job. That's my role there at the camp, maintenance, upkeep, and overseeing buildings and facilities and things like that. Rachel, her job, she's going to come up here and talk a little bit about some of the stuff she does at camp, and a little bit about discipleship in particular.
So I'm going to read kind of a verse that goes along with what my role at camp is. In Hebrews, it's the verse about encouraging one another. And of course, I had it all found out. 10:20. All right, there it is. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. My first and most important ministry is my family and my kids. And as a mom, I'm homeschooling our kiddos during the school year, so I've had to set up boundaries at camp. And I help out in the kitchen, but I help out mainly with breakfast. Right now I'm also doing some dinners when we have work teams, because our work team season is here. And we have two staff members who aren't able to help right now, so we're a little short-staffed in the kitchen. So, like, last week I had four dinners, and then Monday through Saturday of breakfasts. But it's that helping out in the kitchen is my way of just kind of helping, encouraging, being there. Mo is slowly taking over the kitchen. She is taking over the kitchen, and she's trying to figure out how do I encourage her in her roles. At the beginning of the year, they had a meeting with us and said, hey, what do you see your roles as? Because they wanted Mo and I to take over the kitchen together. And I said, honestly, at this point, I have enough going on that I do not want the leadership role of the kitchen. I will encourage. I will help. I will do whatever I need to do to come alongside. But I am not in a position where, at this point, my kids need me. My kids need me to encourage them as we serve. And so that's kind of my role in the kitchen year-round. During the school year, I'm doing more breakfast and dinner. During the summer, I kind of fill in the cracks as needed. This last summer was the first summer that I actually had worked in the kitchen for breakfast every day. And then also as a camp nurse for a little bit. But that encouraging is where my heart gets excited. And in discipleship, I get to do that. And so discipleship, how that works is there's a head mentor of all the girls. There's a head mentor of all the guys. And they assign different staff members, so many girls. And you meet with them once a week, 30 minutes to an hour. That week to just encourage them in their walks with the Lord, encourage them with the crazy campers that they have, the hard campers that they have, or the fun campers that they have. But you point them back to Christ, the summer staff, and you remind them that the work that's going on is God, that He is at work. And at the beginning of that verse, that I first read, it talked about, let us hold fast the confession of our hope with that was not the first verse. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean. That's not it either. Anyway, okay. But it was talking about just the fact that it's all the Lord doing what He's doing in our lives. And I remember there was one of the girls that I mentored last summer, and she was scared to death to be a counselor. And she was a wrangler most of the summer, but she was a counselor 1 week. And I told her, I said, you can do this. Not because of just what God has gifted you with, but because God, you are drawing your strength from the Lord. You are doing what God wants you to do, and you are getting your strength from Him. and he is going to do a mighty work through you. And you know what? That 1 week that she was the counselor, other cabins, kids were coming to the playground to play with her and all of her girls because they knew that she loved the Lord and she loved their campers, and her campers saw Jesus through her, and she just shined Jesus. And it was a beautiful thing to see because she was very, she was insecure. She didn't know if she had what it took to be a good counselor. But I got to see God shine through her and work through her. And that's what I love about discipleship. The picture of the girl on the screen is Carly. Carly was from Hard Rock, Arizona, and that summer God brought her into my life, and it was amazing. I got to see God work through some biases that she had towards white people. She had a lot of pain in her life and a lot of baggage, and yet she saw me as her sister in Christ and not a Biligana. And it was amazing by the end of the summer to see how God stretched her and grew her and used her. And that's what I love about discipleship. And I get to do the same thing with my kids, too, each and every day and during the summer, and challenging them. There was a few summers ago that, in particular, there were so many campers that stayed back after chapel on Thursday night that Jeff and I both needed to beat with campers. And so the girls took their brothers, they took them to the playground to play after chapel, and McKenna came up to me afterwards, and she's like, "Mom, I was praying that the campers would come to know Jesus." And I'm like, this is what it's all about, is encouraging and discipling and challenging our kids, the campers, the summer staff, so that they can challenge others in the Lord. It's not our strength. We get tired. We get weary. Even my kids, by the end of the summer, they're cranky and exhausted and a lot of times sick because too many late nights, early mornings. But it's not, it shows. We are weak without the Lord, but God is strong. And that is what I have loved watching, is how God works through us. And last summer, it was a hard summer. We were stretched, we were challenged, and we saw God work. There were many times we were on our knees crying and praying. And Stormy, the girl that Jeff mentioned about coming, she came last summer, and it turned her world upside down because she didn't realize how hard it would be. She thought other Christian natives, she'd never been around Christian natives, so she had in her mind this beautiful picture of what Christian natives are going to be like when you work with them, that they're going to be, I don't think she thought they were going to be perfect, but she thought they'd be perfect. She realized people aren't perfect, even Christians. And so that really, she had to walk through those things and walk in the Lord's strength. And at the end of the summer, she said, "I am never coming back to Broken Arrow. I can't do this again." But just a few weeks ago, last month, she messaged me on Facebook. She's like, Rachel, and then it was period, period, period. And I said, "Are you coming back?" And she's like, "I think God wants me to." And I'm saying, yes, because I know God has a plan. She's been working through some hurdles. Her family is not saved. If you think of it, pray for Stormy. She's kind of become like another daughter to me. She's got a very hard past, but God is bringing beauty out of that. And she wants to work at camp this summer, but she's trying to figure out how she can pay for Bible college next year. Her family, I think Satan really is using her family to discourage her. They want her out of Bible college. They said she's wasting her life. They told her that she has no business working at Broken Arrow again. She needs to get a real job. And she just found out. Her mom messaged her and said, I think I have cancer. I find out in March. If I have cancer, you need to come home and take care of me. She really feels the Lord wants her back at Broken Arrow this summer. So pray for her. Pray for God to clearly direct her. Because I really do believe God wants her at camp this summer. I'm excited to see how God's going to challenge her, grow her, stretch her and use her. And I'm excited to see how another summer of being around Christians is going to continue to cement her walk with the Lord. So just pray for the discipleship that goes on at camp, because that's where we really get to go deeper with the summer staff, especially because a lot of our summer staff, they don't have Christian homes. So this is the time that we really get to go deeper with them and challenge them in their walks with the Lord as they challenge the campers. And just pray for us at camp as we are trying to figure things out and with the transition to the kitchen and just some other stuff. Pray that God would prepare each of our full-time staff's hearts for this summer. We're just now starting to plan for summer camp. And just pray that God would really prepare us and bring us together as a team. And then there's another family I'll lift up, the Harhos. They just contacted our camp about the possibility of coming on and joining the Broken Arrow staff eventually full-time. So just pray for them for wisdom and guidance, too, and wisdom for our team as we try and figure out, is this a family that God is bringing on at just the right time? So thank you, guys.
The discipleship and mentorship program at the camp is something that is very important to us. As I mentioned before, the way we structure it is the summer staff pours into the campers, and then we pour into the summer staff. And discipleship, mentorship is a big part of that. I had the opportunity to mentor a young man each of the last two summers as well. with my job being maintenance, there have been a few times I've been working on a project, so I've grabbed the guy and had him come help me on whatever I'm working on and do that for half an hour and just kind of talk and visit and see how things are going and encourage him. Or unload the hand washing station or things like that. And just to spend some time just encouraging them in their walk with God in their cabin. I'm always looking for somebody who wants to come alongside and do some more hands-on stuff that I can kind of work with one-on-one during the summer. So a couple weeks ago we were at Laterno University and I was talking to them about the possibility of somebody coming out and helping me out for the summer, kind of doing that. And so we'll see where that goes. One guy was pretty excited when I told him he could have the go-karts because he's a go-kart guy. So somebody that come alongside and really walk alongside me, and I can really work one-on-one with them for the summer and really encourage them is something. The other thing we try to encourage our kids about is they have these snack shop certificates that end up all over the place, and they're good for one free soda and one free popcorn at the snack shop. And we give them out during carnival. We give them out for different things, incentives throughout the week. Well, my kids are always grabbing these things and collecting them. My kids don't need them because as a staff kid, they automatically get a free popcorn and a free soda at the snack shop. So I always encourage my kids, if you find a snack shop certificate, rather than collect it and hoard it, go find a kid that you think needs it and needs the encouragement and give it to that kid, that camper, because you don't need it. Not only that, but my parents pay for their snack shop stuff anyway, so... it's working, discipling and mentoring the kids as well. That's a big part of our ministry as well, which is the next slide here. It is a family ministry. We consider this a family ministry. Our family, it's not just me and Rachel, but the kids are there as well. You heard McKenna talk a little bit about shoveling snow, about shoveling horse manure, about helping to teach the kids the books of the Bible. Elias is my little helper. He's all over with me. Helping me to do this, that, and the other thing. Azariah, our little one, our two-year-old, last summer, if I went anywhere in that little brown truck and I didn't take him, he got mad. So he had to be with me wherever I went. So it's an opportunity for us to be involved as a family, which is good. It's good for the kids. It's encouraging to me. Somebody asked me, what's the best part of this job? And I said this right here, the fact that I can work with my kids. And I can take my kids to work with me. If Rachel needs a break or needs to work with one of the kids on something at school, I can take one kid in the morning and she can work on with the other kid. And then in the afternoon we can switch out and I can help her in that way as well. And just hang out with my kids and then be part of the ministry. Not just me ministering and Rachel ministering to our kids, but our kids ministering to others as well. So, but of course, it's not all work. They do get to play some as well, riding around on the four-wheeler, playing in the dirt, riding horses. There's McKenna after the water fight. And Elias, as my helper, wore himself out. So, a big part of my job is work teams. You've probably seen this slide before. I've shown it before. But right now we are in the middle of our work team season. So right now we are, we have work teams. Our first work team just left. They were there this past week, a team from Pennsylvania. We have a team coming in tonight from Frontier School of the Bible in Wyoming. They're going to be here for the week. And then we have another team from Pennsylvania and then a team from Tucson. We have teams basically starting last week until the middle of April. April 22nd is when our last work team leaves, our last of the consecutive work teams. And then we have a couple others that are coming up in May. We have another church that just contacted us last week about possibility of coming out in April or May. So it's going to be a very busy season for us over the next couple of months with work teams and trying to get things done around the camp, get it ready for camp. I always joke that I'm the only one on staff that's more busy before camp than during camp, because during camp I just wait around for something to break and then I fix it good enough to make it through the summer until I can fix it right in the fall. But leading up to camp, there's always lots of stuff to do. Last year I was redoing some water lines. And the week before camp, I still had a big hole out in front of the chapel. I was telling people I only needed a month in the next week to get ready for camp, but we got it done. It happened. So that's a big part of my job is running the work teams. These are some of the projects that I've been working on. I've worked on over the last couple of years there at the camp. The big one was the ceiling in the lodge. Those of you who have been to the camp, we had a flat ceiling in there, 8-foot flat sheetrock ceiling in there. We tore that ceiling out. We built some scissor trusses in place, and we put up some plywood up there, and then we put in some tongue and groove aspen. The picture down there on the bottom left is the final product with the tongue and groove aspen in there and the new lights and ceiling fans. One of the big things we were trying to push during COVID was kind of health and safety, and this helps us to be able to circulate air better. We were able to put some coolers in there so we can move some air better and control the temperature in there a little bit better, especially when we have a big crowd in there. Another big project that we did is the new road, and that's the bottom middle there. We put in a new access road. The old road used to run between the A-frame and the snack shop, which, of course, is a very crowded area, a very busy area, especially during free time, kids running back and forth from the snack shop to the A-frame. The A-frame is kind of our open-air gymnasium, basketball court. The dodgeball pit's over there. All that stuff's over there. So we had all those kids that would run back and forth. If anybody was coming in, the Pepsi truck coming in, the Shamrock truck coming in, you know, the kids running across there. So we decided to move the road to the other side of the snack shop so that it's not in that high pedestrian traffic area. So that was a big project that we worked on. We redid the back of the chapel. We used to have big windows back there, but they weren't being used. They got broken. The siding needed to be replaced, so we replaced the siding on most of the back of the chapel. One of our big projects for this spring that we're trying to get done is we want to get that chapel, the rest of the chapel, scraped and painted because it is in dire need of a paint job. The one there in the middle is the hand-washing station we built. We bought a trailer, put a tank on it, put some troughs on both sides. My dad was a big, he did a lot of work on that hand washing station. And so it's a mobile unit that we can take around the camp. So we can take it over to the picnic pavilion. We can take it, park it out in front of the lodge. We can take it wherever we might need it on camp. Again, just to do kind of health and safety kind of stuff, to be able to make sure everybody can wash their hands before meals. And to encourage the kids to wash their hands before meals, because, of course, whenever you're working with kids, they don't even think about that kind of stuff. So when they walk out of chapel and there's the big hand-washing station right in front of them, and it's kind of fun to put your hands under the sprayer spraying out. And so that was a big project. And then the top right there, we built a new pavilion out by the picnic pavilion, a place where we can put grill. We have a little smoker we put out there. We've used that quite a bit on some of the off-season stuff. To be able to use that as an area where we can grill and cook out by the picnic pavilion. And used during the summer as well. You can put the condiments and stuff under there when you're serving the food. So those are some of the projects that I've been working on, that I've been busy with. The biggest one that we're working on right now is the nurse's station. I don't think I have a picture of the nurse's station here, no. Again, technical difficulties this morning. But so we have been working on the nurses' station. We're building a new nurses' station. It's a 40 by 40 building that we're building, and it's going to be a year-round facility. So it has three bedrooms in there. That way we can house a nurse in there for the summer, for whether they're there for a week or whether they're for the whole summer. We can house them in the building. We also have two other bedrooms that we can use for kids that need to lay down for a little while, that get sick. It has a nice wide hallway in there that we can use if we have to, you know, overflow crowd, which we've had some years. We can set cots up or whatever in there. We can set up a little area where kids can just kind of hang out in there, and if they're overheated from out running around in the sun or dehydrated, they can just come sit down in there for a little bit, cool off, get some water, get some fluids. The biggest things we have with the camp nurse is dehydration. Kids that aren't used to being outside, they're now outside running around. Or kids that aren't used to a lot of candy, now all of a sudden mom and dad aren't there and the snack shop's open, and so, you know, way too much candy at dinner time, so now they got to, or at, right before they go to bed, so now they have a tummy ache. That's a lot of it with the camp nurse. But then it's also a building that we can use through the rest of the year. We can house a small work team in there. We can house a large family in there. We can use it for housing for retreats and conferences. A group that wanted to come down and do a retreat, we could have the entire thing in there. We could set up some tables in that big hallway, use those bedrooms. It has a little kitchen, a little laundry area in there. So it's something that we can use year-round. Our current nurse's station, we haven't really used in a long time except for storage. It's not really located in the right place in camp. It's very dilapidated, run down. So this will be a great asset to the camp. So it's been a big project. We started it in September. We just got signed off on the electrical permit, the electrical rough-in inspection on Friday. So the building inspector is supposed to be there tomorrow to sign off on the framing, and then we can start doing the insulating and the sheetrocking. That's one of the things I'm hoping to have this team that's coming in this week work on, is doing some of that kind of stuff. So we're hoping to have it up and running and fully functional by camp, and right now it's looking like there's a good chance that we'll have that. There's still a lot of work to be done, but we have several of these groups that are coming in. We also have a couple guys that we've been paying to work on it full-time on a regular basis, and so that's helped with the process as well. But that is another prayer request, is the funding for that. Because we've hired some people to work on it, it's costing a little bit more than we originally anticipated. We had to hire an electrician that we thought we were going to be able to do a guy locally to do the electrician work, and that didn't work out. So then we ended up having to hire an electrician to come in and do the electrical work. So another added expense. But God has been providing all along. He's been providing the funds that we need, but that's certainly a prayer request as well. There's still some work, like I mentioned, on the chapel that we're trying to get done. The back of the chapel needs a little bit more work, the scraping and painting. We need to do the inside of the chapel. We want to do the same thing on the ceiling on the inside of the chapel that we did to the lodge with the tongue and groove aspen on the ceiling. So that's a big project that we're working on, improvements to the lodge. Some of the guest housing that we have, that was a big project this past work team worked on. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of opportunities to for people to be involved. And that's one of the great things about working at camp is, you know, the opportunity for people to come alongside and join us if they can't provide for us financially. They can pray for us, but maybe they want to do a little bit more. We're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for people that want to come out and say, hey, I want to help out for a week. I want to come out help out for a weekend. I want to come help out for the summer. So we're always looking for people that want to be involved in that way and volunteer in that way. It came up during Sunday school about, you know, maybe raising some stuff for some of our other things that we have, like the Christmas gift bags that we do and things like that. So there's all kinds of ways to be involved in our ministry and what we're doing out there and what God's doing out there. It's not our work. It's not our ministry. It's God's ministry. He's just called us to it. So if you want some more information, you can come out and talk to us. We have a little table set up out there. We have some information. I know several of you in here are signed up on our mailing list. But if you are not signed up on our mailing list and you want to be, certainly sign up. We're always looking for prayer partners and people to pray with us, pray for us, people to come alongside us. We're always looking for counselors and wranglers, 16 to, you know, however old, that want to come and work with the campers and really pour their lives into the lives of the campers and work with them. So if you are one of those people or know somebody who's one of those people, let us know as well. we're always excited to have people come alongside and help out in that way as well, and work with us in that way as well. I mentioned camp nurse, maintenance, kitchen. We're always looking for people to come work in the kitchen during the summer. That's a big need as well. So come talk to us, be involved in our ministry and who we are and what we're doing. So we want to thank you for allowing us to come. We want to thank you for your support. Your church has recently started supporting us on a regular basis, and we appreciate that. We thank you for that. It's great to know that there's people out there that are partnering with us, not just financially, but in other ways as well. And I have a long history with this church, and so it's greatly appreciated and welcome. So thank you for allowing us to come and share with you guys today about who we are and what we're doing and what God's doing out there. So.